EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Gloria in Arizona and her first UFO sighting was at just 9 years old. And she also believes that she has been abducted by aliens on several occasions. Gloria, up next.
But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Arizona.
Yes, I am. And the summer times are quite warm, and sometimes in the winter we have nice cooler weather. And sometimes it gets warm in the winter, but it's a nice steady balance.
Lovely. You know, you've got nice open skies. You know, you got some nice clean air. Is what you want, really.
Yes, it is. I do miss the mountains and I do miss the beach.
I love the beach. Now, Gloria, you have some experiences to share with us, which began when you were just 9 years old. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
I really would. Thanks, Nick. When I was 9 years old, I was so bored. I'm living in the California desert and I was bored. And my mom had made mention for me to go down and visit a friend, and I'll call her TZ. And I asked her, can I call and ask if she can fly? My mom said, no, go walk down to her house. It's only like half a country block away. So my mom was, you know, wise on, you know, how to change, you know, direction of a child's boredom. So a walk, you know, is a change of pace, and it's the country, and it's early summer. So I walked down to her house and asked Kizzy's mom if she could come and play, you know, down at my house or go down to the park, which was only a couple of houses down from where I lived. And her mom said yes. So we're walking down the street, and as we get closer to my house, Kizzy grabbed my arm and said, quiet, stop. I'm like, what? And I'm just chattering away. And she goes, look over there. And I went, oh my gosh, is that what we think it is? And we were like frozen in fear for a minute. And TZ, being a little braver, said, Gloria, let's go see. And it looked like a horse laying on its side. So I thought, oh my gosh, and I said, I wonder if this is one of Nikki's horses, because we have a neighbor that had quite a few horses. And it looked like her horse. So when we got over there, there was a half a horse. And there was a pool of blood around it. And it had been dismembered. And I went, oh my gosh, and I'm dancing around. And Jeezy's like, you go tell your mom, I'll go get my mom and we'll show them. So Jeezy ran home. I went to my house, which was next door to where this horse was laying, basically. And I went in and I said, Mom, Jeezy and I saw a horse laying on its side on the side of the road. When my mom comes out, Jeezy's mom comes, they're about there now, and they walked really fast. So we were standing there, and there was a circle of where dried blood would be in the shape of a horse on its side. And our parents thought that we had, you know, did a prank. And it's like, well, how can we do a prank with this? This is real blood. And Jeezy, her mom grabbed her and took her home and said she'd be on restriction for, I think it was a month, and said she wasn't allowed to play or talk with, you know, play with me or talk with me on the phone. And I was just like, my mom just looked, I was just devastated. And it's like, no, we are telling the truth. And my mom turned to me and said, I'm going in the house. And you had best follow me in shortly, but give me a few minutes to cool off. I'm like, oh, goodness, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. And all of a sudden, I was watching my mom walk back towards the house, and I felt this presence, and it was like a telepathic message said, look up. And I looked up, and there was a silver saucer hovering over me. Was the alien space. And me, with all my infinite wisdom, looked up and I said to it out loud, what did this horse ever do to deserve this type of treatment? And I looked back down at the ground and I could still see the dried, you know, the dried form and shape. And when I looked back up, the spacecraft was gone. And I went into the house and I was on restriction for 2 weeks. And my mom said, don't ever play that type of prank again. But what I have come to believe about this is not long afterwards, I started having alien visitations in my bedroom. And I'm wondering if the dismemberment and the spacecraft wasn't for the little green men, because they started coming into my bedroom at night, and they would move my bed to the middle of my room. And we're talking about those really heavy old oak beds. We're talking about early 1960s. Those beds were really heavy. My mom had trouble moving it. So at 9 years old, there's no way that I could move it by myself. So these little green men, they were green, and they were 2 to 3 feet tall, and they had long, spindly fingers with long needle-like fingernails, and they would poke, and they would jab at me, and they would scratch my legs, they would pull my hair, they would jump on my bed, and then they would, you know, push me down and claw at me as I'm laying on the bed. And I would scream for my mom to help me, and they would go, she can't hear you. And then I'm like, but I want my mom, and I'm crying, and they're getting nastier and nastier to me. Well, finally, they would go ahead and they left. And my mom would come in, turn on the light, and my bed would be in the middle of my bedroom floor. And she's like, what are you doing moving your bed? I said, I didn't move it, Mom. And I explained to her about the little green men. And she just looked at me and goes, more of this stuff with you? Haven't we? Didn't we have enough with this so-called spaceship? And now you're making this up? I said, no, Mom, I'm not making it up. Well, this with the one with the little green men, for a child, it seems like an eternity. I'm going to say like a year, but I don't know if it was. I believe it was, because what they also did was during that time, I grew up in the time of black and white television. Boris Karloff, we had Lon Chaney Jr. do his monsters, and then we had Bela Lugosi as Dracula. So through all of this, I would watch the movies, and then I would go to bed at night, and I would have a little green man, you know, follow me. And I remember one night we watched Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein, and I went to bed, and I was looking. My parents had started leaving the hall light on, and my bedroom door open a little bit because I was so afraid of the dark because of the little green men. And what had happened was, this one night after watching Abbott Costello meet Frankenstein, I heard, "Open your eyes." And they forced my eyes open, and my sheet formed into the face of Frankenstein and started coming up at me. I screamed. My parents came in, flipped on the light, and they're going, "What's going on?" And I said, "Frankenstein is alive. He's, you know, in here, his face on my sheet." And my mom said, "That's it. No more scary movies for you. That's it. You just have nightmares from it." And then she would turn the light off, and then the little green men were sitting on the headboard, hitting me with their feet, you know, hitting my head with their feet, saying, "Told you she'd never believe you." And after, I believe, a year's time, they finally left. And I believe the white lady coming in is who scared them off. Because I remember one night, my bedroom door opened all by itself, and I was scared. But then I saw the white lady standing there in her spirit form, and she said, "They will never visit and hurt you again." And I have never encountered the little green men after that. And I'm glad, to be quite honest, because they were pretty mean. But then I started noticing at school that there were shadows on the wall in grade school in the next year or two. And I didn't think anything of it, because I just thought the way the sun was shining and it was a classmate behind me. But then I noticed the position of the sun. If my shadow was on the hallway, a walk in front of me, it was concrete, there was a shadow on the wall. And then the shadow beings started on the inside of our house. And they were in the grocery store. Wherever I went, they never hurt me. I still see them to this day on walls. But the shadow beings have never spoken to me. They have never hurt me in any way, you know, shape or form. And then I didn't, as far as I can remember, I haven't had any alien encounters until I was in my early 20s. I had met the grays, you know, the gray hybrids. And what happened, I also had alien abductions with those encounters. What happened was, after I was married at the time, it was the early part of 77. I was 20 years old, and I had gotten pregnant. My husband and I were using birth control, but I still got pregnant because of birth control fail. And I remember I had miscarried that baby, and I was going into my second trimester. And I was hemorrhaging, and the doctor told me not to get pregnant for a year and not to work. So it was a real struggle for my husband and I, for me not to work, because we were dependent on two incomes to pay the rent and the food. So our parents helped us out for a little bit. And after 6 months, I ended up going back to work prematurely because our parents couldn't help us anymore. But I remember that we still used birth control. And he had gotten a vasectomy in the process, because the doctor told me that I would not be able to have any more children. the interesting part is I ended up pregnant again after my husband was all clear on his vasectomy. But this pregnancy was so different. But I remember before the pregnancy that I was laying on this metal table, and it was almost like wearing like a white surgical gown like we have here. And it was in this circular room that had all of these big windows, and the tall lights were floating, or they literally floated off the floor when they moved. I don't think they had any feet at all, but they had arms. And it looked like they were wearing surgical caps and masks, and they had these big white gloves on, and they were just floating around the room. That's all I remember with that pregnancy. But in the pregnancy itself was like little tentacles, suction cups, holding on to my uterus. And after 2 months, it was as if I was never pregnant. And I thought I miscarried. And then months later, I'm pregnant again. And my husband was completely sterile. But this time when I went up to the spaceship, I remember I was laying flat back in the same room. And I thought, I'm here again. So I get up off the table and I'm going to leave. It's like, I don't want to be here. I'm thinking that I can leave here. I can go home. All I have to do is go out that door and I will wake up and I'll be home in bed again. Well, all of a sudden I hear, get back on the table now. And I refused. I just stood there. Then all of the tall whites just stood still, looked at me and said, don't make us come in there. And I thought, okay, I'll get back on the table. And then we said, lay back down. So I did. And then I remember waking up at home, pregnant again with the same tentacle feelings, like something was holding on for dear life inside of my uterus. And like 3 months later, 2-3 months later, I miscarried. I thought I miscarried again. The interesting part of all this, I then didn't get pregnant for 5 years. And then with the last pregnancy, I was in my 5th month. I went into full labor. My water was breaking and I was at a friend's. So I went and still married, went and sat on the toilet and because my water was breaking. And then I felt labor pains radiating down the middle of my back, down my back of my legs. And next thing I know, it was like I had an empty feeling in my womb. But during this pregnancy, I did feel the baby move, went to the doctor with everything. Everything was sound, and he said for me to have this baby, he'd have to put me in the hospital. This was the week prior to my being at my friend's. And I then went ahead and I looked in the toilet and I saw this gray baby, and it had the big black eyes, and then it vanished. And I just stood there and I saw just blood in the toilet, and there was no afterbirth, which I thought was really strange because I had heard that after you have a baby, they have to get the afterbirth out. Well, my friend called my doctor. My doctor said for me to stay there and not go anywhere because I could hemorrhage and to be in his office next, you know, in the morning. Well, I called my husband and I said, I can't come home right now, because he never believed I was pregnant. He just kept telling me, you're getting fat, you need to go on a diet. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, what would you do if I told you I was pregnant? He goes, well, I'm not the father. And I doubt that you've been screwing around on me. Well, when I got home the next day, I was just feeling really weak. I made it to the doctor's office. Everything was completely clear. There was no afterbirth, nothing left inside. Here I thought I lost 3 children, earth children. Come to find out, fast forward to October 2022, that I did give birth to 3 alien grays. And that was a shock to find out that my children had lived. And it's been a very, you know, at first, you know, the feelings of anger and, you know, it's like, why didn't I, you know, have any say in my children's upbringing? Why was I left out, you know, of all of this happening? Oh, you know, to find out that I was just an incubator for them to further their race. I found on my father's side of the family, there is a history of gray hybrids. So it was generations back that the aliens had impregnated someone on my father's mother's side of the family, because I had spoken with a family member about these things, and they were making a comment about knowing technology and knowledge without even having any formal training. And I told them, yeah, I know all about that because, you know, I've gone through it myself. And then in my mid-20s at that point, and I periodically would see UFOs flying in the sky and didn't pay much attention to it. Because to me, it was like, oh, it's them. And that was, you know, just really weird. But the next encounter I remember, I think was in 2017 or 2018. I was living in apartments on the east side of Tucson, Arizona. Let me back up with that. The next thing I remember was that my husband and I separated. I'm in my mid-20s. I'm living in this apartment. I don't remember seeing any cockroaches, no infestations of anything. I remember a couple of nights I would hear scratching sounds and weird noises coming from the kitchen. So I would go out. I would see the shadow beings on the walls, and I'd run back to the bedroom and close the door because it scared me. And then I'm thinking, if they can scratch on the wall, can they scratch me? Thinking back to the little green men. Well, a couple of nights later, there was more noise. So I went in and I saw this big shadow of this big, huge, giant cockroach. I would say it was probably about 4 to 5 feet tall, because I could see its long, you know, the, like, but they have like call whiskers. I call them whiskers. It might be antennas on their face, and then they have their antennas. It was crawling up from behind the refrigerator. And I was wondering now if that was a portal that they came and went in. I flipped on the light, the giant cockroach disappeared, and there were tons of cockroaches just coming out from underneath the refrigerator. It was like living in a horror movie, and they were all over the countertops, the floors. They were everywhere. I'm thinking, oh my God. And then they were in my bed after a while, and I couldn't get away from them. They were crawling into the refrigerator. So I truly believe, because I've never seen a cockroach that big since, and now when I see a cockroach, and since then, I just go, ooh, thinking about that time that happened when I was in my mid-20s. But I didn't seem to have an alien encounter that I'm aware of, maybe because I didn't recognize them until 2017, 2018, where I now was living on the east side of Tucson, Arizona, and in an apartment complex, and this one woman and I were talking, and while I was walking my dog one day, and she just looked at me and she said, do you believe in aliens and UFOs? And I'm just like, why do you ask? She said, well, there's a group of us who watch them. I said, where do we have to go? She said, we don't have to go anywhere. We can stand here, and she showed me where on the property we stand, and look up into the southwest side of the sky of the building, and look up into the southwest sky. Okay, she said, we meet at, she told me the time, and I'm like, okay. So I went with my dog, you know, walking her on one of her walks, not thinking anything of it. It started getting dark, and we could see the spaceships up in the sky. They were turning around, and some of them were going north and south. Some were going clockwise and counterclockwise. And then I heard telepathically, look to your left. And I looked to my left, and there was a silver saucer, thinking, okay, why is this one way over here and everyone else is over there? So then I've learned that each alien species has their own type of spacecraft. Well, then I saw there were helicopters up there as well as planes. And the spaceships would move and they'd come back. They would shoot up and then come back when the other aircraft would go away. And I asked the woman, I said, what's going on? She said, oh, that's the Air Force playing around with the spaceships. And she said they would never, you know, agree. They claim that they would never agree that that's what they're doing. Well, on this one particular day, the woman, we had exchanged numbers. She had texted me and said, don't bring your dog, but come over here. I have something to tell you. Well, I'm walking over there, and next thing I know, there is six to seven foot tall woman walking towards me. And it's, what I'm noticing is that the fall and the weather is still on the warm side, that she was dressed looking what resembled, you know, what the Nordics wore, with heavy pants, fur-lined boots, heavy woolen top, and a sleeveless fur vest. She had the prettiest blonde hair and the most striking light blue eyes. And she nodded at me and smiled. And the woman came running up to me and said, did you see her? I go, yes. She said, that's a Nordic alien. She goes, look, I said, yeah, she just walked by there and she had disappeared. She said, they're here to protect us against, you know, the mean aliens. Are there nice aliens? Because I had only thought of mean aliens from, you know, my experience with the cockroach and the little green men. Well, then I had moved out of there into an apartment complex that was over, you know, six floors, and they had a rooftop terrace. And I was on New Year's Eve, and I was with some friends. We were on the rooftop, and one of the women and I were standing looking out at the horizon at the different fireworks. It was New Year's Eve and fireworks were going off all around. And next thing you know, we see something shoot straight up into the air. And we were thinking, oh, okay, we're waiting for fireworks. Then it shot back down, went across the horizon. She's like, oh yeah, did you see that? I go, yeah. She said, is that a UFO? I go, yes. We told the guys, and like, yeah, it's an unidentified flying object. The one guy goes, I don't believe in aliens. I don't believe they exist. I looked at him and he said, your head's in the sand like an ostrich. That was a UFO. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. Well, the woman grabbed her boyfriend and he stood and he goes, yeah, I see it. And we said nothing shot across at that time. Well, he went away and then we saw more of the spacecraft flying in on the horizon. After that, started noticing more spacecraft and more aliens. I started watching people walking on the street and disappearing, and they're walking through a time portal. But I remember on one particular day, I was walking my dog, and this is 2021, it was the summertime. I felt like I was being watched. So I'm looking all around, and I didn't see anything. So I continued walking my dog. And I still felt like I was being watched. I looked at the walls, no shadow being, and I heard, turn around. Telepathically, I turned around. They were men in black, and they had the big round eyes like one of the aliens. There were two of them, and they were dressed in black suits, white shirt, black tie, black hat, what looked like large round sunglasses, goggles, and they were watching me and they didn't move, and cars were going on the street and they didn't move. Well, I just kept looking at them and they were watching me, and I had seen them several times after that during the summer, and they would just stand there and watch me walk my dog. And on one particular day, and this was the last time I saw them, they were standing in the middle of the street and the cars were driving by, but they vanished when this large delivery truck came down the street, and then they reappeared. And I thought, this is just really freaky. You know, I just really, oh gosh, I hope I never see them again. And I hadn't.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
And then it was like the following year, I was walking and I felt this presence behind me, and I looked and there was this reptilian alien. And I'm like, holy cow. And I'm like, don't be afraid, Gloria. Just keep walking, turn around and keep walking. And he goes, I'm following you. And I said, telepathically, I said out loud, yes, I know you're following me and I'm not afraid of you. I turned back around and he was there. He was big with muscular type build, similar to what you see with Lou Ferrigno, Arnold Schwarzenegger, big and bulky. And then I said, just go away. That next thing you know, he was gone. And a couple of nights later, I think it was later, it was before I saw him, I was in my room and I saw a white reptilian and saying hello. And I just looked at him and I said, go away. You are not welcome here. And then after I had seen the reptilian on the street, I was awakened in my room and my dog flew out of the room. There, my bedroom door, there's two doors to my bedroom. One goes into the bathroom area and one goes into the living area. Well, my dog ran into the bathroom area. There's another door which leads into the kitchen. With my door swinging closed, there was the reptilian standing there. And he said, you know, I can come and go as I please. I said, yes, I do know that. And then he went ahead and left. And I, you know, it's just really freaky scary to where they can come and go as they please and we have no control over it. But I refused to be afraid, probably because with my history, seeing aliens, being on their spaceship, and January of 2023, I was walking my dog, and I thought I had seen a gray alien down the street, only it was on the lighter side, and then it transformed into, went on all fours, had pointy ears, it looked like it had spikes on its back, and it was made, and it was a half a block from where I was walking my dog. It made a pig-like sound and went down the side street. I'm glad it didn't see me. And I've heard and I've seen pictures that that is a skinwalker. And a skinwalker is a witch that is harmful and can disguise itself as an animal. And I've seen them on videos where they've made dog-like sounds and they can make any animal sounds that they want. And around February, around Valentine's Day, I think it was February the 15th, I was very tired and I was laying in bed, taking a nap. I was on a spaceship and there were energy life forms all around. And then before I woke up, completely, I felt as if I was being lowered onto my bed. And then when I opened my eyes, I saw myself in the arms of a Palladian alien. And I understand that they are known for being healers and they're pleasant. They're very beautiful in their energy form. And it's colorful with blues and purples and white and maybe a light shade of pink in some of them. But the interesting part is the night after that, and this wasn't the first time I had encountered this next species. They were horrific. They were black, and some of them had red glowing eyes. Some had clear eyes. They had like coarse fur, like you would see on a monkey, similar to the costumes on Planet of the Apes. Only I couldn't see any digits on their hands. They were coming at me from the front and back and butting into me. They had like pug noses like a monkey would. And they pushed me into this room. Next thing I know, the floor is giving way. Then this gray net with these handles are being lowered. And I grabbed a hold of it. And some people may say that, oh, you just had a nightmare. And I would have agreed, except I woke up the next morning with a scratch on my right leg, two scratches on my left leg, both around the inside of my leg by my knees, just below my knee. Then I had three claw marks with two puncture wounds on my right shoulder. It was really scary, and it took me a couple of days just to get over this part of it. But also as a child, I would have a lot of scratches, unexplained scratches. So I probably did have alien abductions, but I don't remember. Because my mom would always ask me, where did you get, you know, those scratches from? I don't know. Did you scratch yourself in your sleep? Well, I always chewed my fingernails. So I didn't have any nails. I'm like, no. Does a dog sleep with you? No. You know, she sleeps with you and Dad. And you keep your bedroom door closed. So I would have all these unexplained scratches all over me. And the teachers would ask my mom, you know, and my mom would say, I don't know. She just woke up with these. I would notice them in the morning. So then I would even have some scratches on my face. And that's when, you know, it was the teachers were becoming alarmed. But that was long before child abuse laws. And people were saying, you know, the teacher would ask me, how did you get this? I don't know. I woke up with it. Did your mommy or daddy, you know, hurt you? No, the parents don't do that. So it's been an interesting life. And I, you know, continue to have the different, you know, paranormal experiences, like looking out over at the mountains, which are like 20 miles away, if not farther, and then seeing these giant black aliens standing up there and wondering how many hundreds of feet tall are they, or are they over 1,000 feet tall to be able to stand on this little precipice. You know, I would see them. It looked like they were running across the top of the mountain when actually they weren't even touching the mountain. They had hands and feet, but there are quite a few of them. But now that there's snow on the mountaintop, I haven't seen them because I look out there and I don't see them at all. So these are just ones that I can recall, you know, these abductions and encounters. And there are nights I can go outside and I've even taken pictures. And I even had one of the neighbors with me. We were watching the different spaceships. And one night we saw a Palladian spaceship over the horizon going up and down. And I was talking with the neighbor on the phone. And she said, there's a red light over there just watching them. And it wasn't a blinking light. It was a solid light. So it was, you know, I checked to see if there are any carnivals in the area. And they said, no, because we would see it, the spaceship go up with a white light spinning around it and go down. And then a little while later, go up. So I thought it was a carnival ride. So I really don't know what happened. And, oh gosh, it was the week of February 20th. I was standing at the window. And it was a cloudy day, and I was looking at a different set of mountains, and I saw this beam go down over to the other side of the mountain. And it was just like really, really interesting. I thought, okay, that didn't look like lightning. It was a funnel beam. And I'm thinking, I wonder what the aliens hit. And those are the experiences that I can recall at this time. But I have written a book called My Journey as a Gray Hybrid, to where I talked more in detail what life was like for me growing up. So thanks again, Nick, for having me on.
That's wonderful, Gloria. You know, you've had interactions with many different types. Any time, did they ever offer up any form of explanation of why you were going through this, especially, you know, with the pregnancies in your 20s?
Yes, I had a conversation with my extraterrestrial mate. They use humans to incubate, not all humans. I don't know how they select or why they select, but because I had great hybrid in my lineage, I was brought here and put into a stillborn child's body. They are building a hardier race to survive in the future because they are, I believe, from our future. They've been around longer than we have. So they are looking at building a hardier race for them as a hybrid being.
Now, the little green men, now they must have been scary. They've got these claws, they're scratching at you and tormenting you. So they were pretty much tormenting you in your childhood.
Oh, that was terrifying. It was traumatizing. It took a long time for me to be able to sleep in a room. Well, actually, to this day, I still sleep with a night light on in another room to where I can see light. I can't be in a completely dark room.
And those experiences with the little green men, now that all ceased when this lady in white came in.
Yes, it is. After she came, they never showed the face again unless they blocked my seeing them. And that's why I had all the scratches, or it could have been a different alien face. But the woman in white is, when people see her, they think it's the Virgin Mary. And she has the similar features as what we depicted in pictures as the Virgin Mary.
So she was looking out for you.
Yes. And I don't know if I've seen her again. I may have in passing through the years, but I don't really remember. But she was a good alien. As in human beings, in all different capacities, we have good people, we have bad people. The same goes with the alien species.
And it must have been quite difficult, you know, because you were telling your mother stuff that was happening, you know, starting with the death of the horse. So it must have been very difficult. You were trying to tell her what was going on. She didn't believe you. She kept grounding you. She just put it down to having an overactive imagination.
Exactly. And my parents and my half-brother would laugh at me about that. Remember when you said your bed was moving? And they would laugh. And they would poke fun and think it was funny and, you know, reduce me to tears until I got older. So I just looked at them and I said, well, maybe one day you'll have the same experience. I don't think they ever did. And my dad told me I was just trying, you know, to get attention, you know, to get some type of attention because I grew up in a very abusive household. And I wasn't. But I knew that I wasn't of this earth. And I remember looking up in the skies and saying, why don't you take me with you? Why do I have to stay here? Why am I going through this? Only I never received an answer as a child.
And you said you did eventually speak to a family member.
Mm-hmm. It was we're related to my father's mother's side of the family. She was saying, we were talking about how I thought, you know, I was a hybrid and I knew how to fix copy machines when I was never trained in it. Fax machines came out, figured out how to fix them. Copy printers could troubleshoot along with copiers. She said that way. Then how would you explain that I knew all these things? Would that explain it? I go, yes, for you being a hybrid, because we're related through that lineage. She said, well, then that would explain how I know things without knowing things. I said, yes, because it's infused in your DNA.
So all these years where you felt different, that, you know, that you didn't belong in the family, this could be the reason why.
Exactly. I never felt comfortable in my own, in the human skin form. And I've had memories of living as an extraterrestrial. And I had this one dream, but wasn't really a dream. I had on February 27th, I was on a spacecraft. And I was in my extraterrestrial form, and I felt so comfortable. I was in a room which looked like a house that on Earth in one of the rooms, and there was a man, a human man there, and the deer in headlights look. This is with the grays. They are making their presence known and getting humans used to the benevolent extraterrestrials to know that we're here to help you. And what was 2 days in space was only overnight here on Earth. And I woke up and I want to go back. I want to go back on the spaceship because I grew up on one.
Did you ever have any regression, any hypnotherapy?
I have, and I've had past life experience. And what is happening is I've seen myself as a gray extraterrestrial working on the spaceship, going time traveling and helping in different time periods.
So that has probably provided you with a lot of answers. Got a human form now, and this is certainly why you feel kind of uncomfortable around people.
Yes, and I've also been in traveled to different centuries wearing their clothes, 1700s, 1800s. When I was in my 20s, I was in my mid-20s, I had a complete hysterectomy because of my last pregnancy had left me with 10 pounds of fast-growing, slow-growing fibroid tumors. All of it was negative. There was no cancer. But people who have had impregnations, alien impregnations, have been left with fibroid tumors in their uterus because they know that, you know, some women who, like me, were not having sex with a man, so that wasn't possible for them to be pregnant except through alien impregnation.
And have you ever had a chance, whether in dream form, of ever meeting your children?
Yes, I have. I've met my daughter and my youngest son when I asked about our oldest son, because I've spoken with my extraterrestrial mate about different things. And he won't talk about our oldest. And he said he decided to not be benevolent, not be friendly. And it's sad for me that he has decided to go that way. And I'm wondering if my recent encounters had something that I had on February 17th had something to do with him, or the 16th of February had something to do with him. But it was funny because my extraterrestrial mate asked me, do you want to meet your two other children? And I was scared. I said, I don't think I want to. Will they take me against my will? What is that like? I have a dog and I don't want to leave my dog here if I'm going to be physically dead and the dog will be left, you know, alone. And he said, well, think about it. And then I remember being on the spaceship telepathically, like in a dream, and I'm talking with this male and he's showing me some things. And it was like being in a training program with technology. And I know when I need the information, it will come about. Right now, it's just laying dormant, waiting to be accessed. Then another dream to where, I think it was after that, couple of nights later or a week later, talking with a female alien, and she was a hybrid. She had beautiful blue eyes and dark brown hair. And she was saying, she was instructing me as to some different consoles and everything else. And she had a pad in her hand and she asked if I had any questions. And I said, no. Well, then after that, and I felt comfortable with them. And I found a few weeks later, when I was talking to my extraterrestrial mate, he said, those are our children. I have since then spoken with my children. My daughter was very upset. She has some human emotions. And she was like, why did you abandon us? And I said, I didn't even know you were alive until now. Or I definitely, you know, would have made strides in contact. At first, my son, Itcor, was saying that he didn't want anything to do with me, and I summoned him telepathically a couple of times, and another time we were aboard the spaceship, and he said, yes, I do want to have communication with you. I know I said before I didn't. He said, but I do now. So I have an ongoing relationship with them.
Have they ever stated that they're happy or not?
Happy? It's just like a matter of their state. This is, they know that the non-human side is where it's, this is their job, this is what they have to do, and they do it. It's not, there's no emotion of happy or not happy. They know that this is their assignment. They just go and they do their job. So there's like humans, you know, we get dissatisfied with work or something, but it's not that way with my children or any of the other extraterrestrial grays that I have encountered. And even when I was one, it's just like, okay, we have an assignment. Let's get it done. Let's go do it. That falls into how I am at times. I can disengage from my emotional side, and it's like, let's just get the job done and go forward. And there are times when I start feeling a little overwhelmed, so I can cut off that emotion, do things matter-of-factly, and then re-engage with my emotions and go forward. So with them, like, even though I haven't seen emotion in my son with Icar, but Tresca, my daughter, well, she does have emotion, but when it comes to her job, she has kindness and gentleness, compassion. But she's very professional when she does her job. There's no emotion to be felt from her.
Okay. And to our listeners, if you'd like to read more about Gloria's experiences, My Journey as a Grey Hybrid, and it's available on Amazon. And what I'll do is I'll put all the links in the description on the website. That's wonderful, Gloria.
Thank you, Nick. I'm enjoying this time. And I know when I was going to come out originally, it was very scary. And now I know this is my mission here, is to help people get acquainted with, you know, the aliens and my experiences, that while we do have some who are bad, there are some who are helpful.
When did you first come out about it, Gloria?
I was in my 20s. I was married. And I told my husband about my encounters. It was in my early 20s when I started talking about it with him, with my husband. It was a safe space. And then we got into more paranormal, metaphysical things, you know, past life regressions, that stopped. And then when I tried talking with other people about it, all they did was look at me as if I was weird, said I was crazy, said I needed to be locked up. And that was before, that's when people could mandatory lock you up. So I stopped talking about it. I would still watch movies and try and feel out about things. So I didn't start talking about it again until 2017.
And of course, it's quite difficult. Try and tell people, and if they haven't had an experience, then it's understandable that it's very difficult for them to absorb it. But then obviously when you meet people which have had similar experiences, it's much easier to relate to. And I think because some of these experiences, they can be quite out there. And I think a lot of people, they won't talk about certain experiences because it'd be very hard for people to accept. So they try and explain more about their more acceptable experiences. And I think when people don't share some of the more crazy experiences, we're kind of missing so much.
We are. Because I remember doing a live video on Instagram in 2022, and I've had some younger men, I would say they're in their 20s and 30s, they're like, what have you been smoking, Grandma? Just to get the lay of the land. And it was just like, I can't stop saying this. This is why I'm out here. And it's quite intimidating, and people do bully people who are different, whether they come out as extraterrestrials or just appear, you know, to be different in whatever way. They're bullied because of people's insecurities and fear of anything different than what they perceive as reality.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And unfortunately, that's, you know, a lot of that is human nature, the bad side of the human race.
Exactly.
I mean, we're quite lucky on this show. You know, everyone that listens to the show are very light-minded, a digital campfire. So people just come on and share their experiences. And then, you know, in turn, there'll be people out there which are listening, and it might help them in turn with their own experiences and, you know, the things that they're going through.
Right. And helping them heal. And I have found more experiencers and starseeds, and it's like I finally found my tribe here on Earth. After searching and searching, I finally in a group who can accept me for who I am, because they are similar to what I am because of being hybrids and starseeds. Even though they are physically different, it's more of a spiritual acceptance. And it's just really wonderful and beautiful community that I have found. And I do have some human friends that, because they know me, they're still my friends. And that's really nice. You know, they just go along and love me for who I am and very supportive of what I'm doing.
Well, that's true friendship, isn't it?
It is.
Which will stick by you no matter what, no matter what you tell them, what you've experienced. You know, that's true friendship.
Exactly. And someone I've known for over 30 years, because of his position in certain arenas as being an expert for certain things, that we had to stop our friendship because it would ruin his reputation if he would be known to be my friend and to believe in extraterrestrials and aliens, even though he's had his own paranormal supernatural experience.
I know. I mean, I get a lot of emails from people, and not everyone comes on the show, mind. I have emails from people which are in some very professional positions. One in particular was in America. I won't say who they are, but they're in politics. This individual has had experiences, and because of what they do, you know, their job, they can't come out about it because it would ruin their political career. But they told me, so there is a lot of people which are in certain positions, professional positions, whether it's, you know, science, politics, whatever, that have these experiences, but they do not come out about it. But I'm very fortunate to hear about these experiences, even though I was unfortunately unable to share them. I made a promise I wouldn't. But still, there are a lot of people out there which do have these experiences and don't share them.
Confidentiality is confidentiality, and that's integrity.
Absolutely. Even though I say to them, you know, if you ever decide, once your career's over and you're all done, and then maybe you'll choose to come out about it. I also deal with a lot which are ex-military, which are either retired or they're claiming a form of disability. And they're worried that if they do come out about their experiences and what they had experienced, whether it's on duty or off duty, they will affect their retirement or whatever. So there's a lot of service men and women out there which, again, have these experiences, but they can't share, or they don't feel they can share.
A friend of mine was in the military. He was told that you cannot share about your experiences for 25 years after you retire. And it's been 28 years. And he's now coming out about his experiences with extraterrestrials while he was in the service.
So that's good news then. The military a bit funny, because I know we have all these people which are coming out, pilots and that, coming out with these sightings. If they're allowed to come out, then surely everyone can come out. Doesn't seem to be the case, because I did have someone contact me from the Navy when they were in the Navy back in the 80s. And they did ask, they said, I can't come on a show, I have to ask permission first. So they, sure enough, they went to the US Navy and asked, would it be possible to say what happened on this particular boat at a certain time? And they said, no, we don't give you permission to talk about anything like that.
That's right. They can be court-martialed, and even after they have left the service, they can be in a lot of trouble. You know, our government and different governments like to keep things hush-hush.
Makes you wonder that how come some are coming out when others aren't.
All about control and their agenda.
That's it. Absolutely. I think they want to let some things out. The things they do give you are just breadcrumbs compared to what they do know, which we won't hear about. You know, that won't officially come out, what they really know.
They give us, I believe, the breadcrumbs just to keep us diverted enough so they can still do a whole bunch of other stuff. And while people are demanding, we want answers, they're doing something completely on the other side because our attention is diverted.
I mean, I'm very cynical in any case. So anything that does come out officially, I'm like, okay, so what's this about? What are they up to?
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Gloria, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, thank you, Nick, for having me. I appreciate it. I really do.
No problem. Okay. You enjoy the rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon. It's been lovely speaking with you.
Same here. Thanks, Nick.
No problem. Take care for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Gloria for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.